Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Table Salt. On this episode, we'll be looking at the outreach pastor position. I don't know if you know, but Salt Outreach has two outreach pastors hired with the organization. I'm going to introduce you to Will and Gerard, and we'll kind of go kind of a little deeper into their role and what they do exactly. We'll start with this. Will, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Wilfredo Alberto Montalvo Flores. You know,
it's a mouthful, right?
A very Hispanic name, Puerto Rican name, from Orlando, Florida, and also go by Will. And outreach pastor, studied at Oakwood University, and it's been a blessing just to be serving us all, man.
No, thanks, man. We're happy to have you. So sure. Go ahead, Gerard.
Yes, so my name is Gerard Joffrey St. Hilaire. Some people call me Joffrey, Gerard, some G, some job. What do you prefer?
That's like the mystery.
It kind of just depends. I mean, it depends on the day. I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I guess being back in Orlando has really I've had to think about that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people here know me as Gerard.
Right.
But then there's a lot of people now that know me as Joffrey, even, you know, from, I guess, all over, and studied at Andrews. Time at Oakwood,
right? It's like Joffrey's your out of state name, it seems like.
I became somebody.
It was
kind of like when Jacob had his experience with God and he changed to Israel. But so that's how that kind of happened.
All right, very cool.
Thankful to be back here in Orlando.
Man, we're happy to have you too, man. Actually, these two guys here were here when Salt first started. And then they kind of went their separate ways, went out of state, and eventually we kind of
reconnected,
kind of dragged them back here to Florida, you know. But no, I'm really happy that you guys are a part of the team, man. It's been such a blessing to have you guys there. And our friends experiencing homelessness, this role, the work that you guys do is so meaningful to them. You know, a lot of our friends have a spiritual background of some kind. They identify with some type of religion, and you guys being there for them, able to kind of help with that spiritual care aspect, has been crucial, I think. And I think it's crucial to helping end homelessness, you know. That's what I think. But
definitely.
I don't know, because I think one of the elements that gets overlooked, but it's like how important spirituality is, you know, to like changing someone's life as well. Because in essence, what you're doing is you're not just trying to change the behavior. It's something that me and G, Joffrey, Gerard, feel today.
Whichever.
It's definitely one of those things where it's like, you know, it's not about changing the behavior. It's perspective. And if your values change, if your view, if your worldview changes, then your behaviors change. Then everything kind of rolls out from how you perceive what life is and where it's going. And it definitely has an impact.
It definitely does, because we've seen some people, you know, they may have, you know, come up to us like later on and say, hey, when you said, someone the other day was telling you that, right? You know, hey, when you said this last time, it didn't maybe hit me the way, and then later on it resonated. Or hey, thank you for like praying for me, because remember this happened, and da 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 da, and what I was thinking of to happen actually happened. And they're seeing God in a way, not that they didn't see him in this way before, but maybe it's a little clearer now, even in the midst of what they're going through.
I can imagine. I mean, you think about hospitals, they have chaplain, right? They have spiritual care. You know, and it's because they're going through some really transitional moments in their life, some really deep challenges and struggle. Why shouldn't we have that with our friends experiencing homelessness? You know, they're going through some really hard transitions, maybe asking, you know, God, why is this happening to me? You know, and having someone there, you know, to be able to answer those questions and guide them through that in a spiritual way, I think is important, you know. So
just to add to that, the beauty of it too is like we are there to definitely answer those questions and walk alongside them. And then there's like that other side too, where it's like we want to help grow you spiritually. Mm. So we have the Bible studies, the services.
Talk to me about that. What exactly are you guys doing right at this moment? What are you guys doing right now?
So at this time, what we kind of started doing is we try to create a space for everyone to kind of partake and have conversation in, because just as much as they're growing from what we're showing, we're also
growing too.
We're also growing as well.
Definitely seen some growth.
And heck of growth. You know, and in all kinds of
all kinds of ways.
You know, because the thing is, we're dealing with a congregation that they are not consistent. So we have to be the ones consistent. You know, we always have to be there. We always have to be kind of like present, or just, you know, and fostering that relationship. And so one of the things that we do is we try to do theology together by just like opening up the room. And we talk, and we have our studies. You know, one of the biggest resources we use right now, or we're using right now, that seems very, it's been working, is we've been doing 95 Thesis by Righteousness by Faith.
Okay.
By Morris Vinden. Old book, but extremely powerful, man. And so what we do is we just take one thesis, put it in our words and our stories and in our, you know, context.
Right.
And we just give the study, and we kind of open up the floor to have the conversation. What do you think about this?
Right.
And we get into the word of it all. And then, you know, then they begin to share, well, I see this perspective or this perspective. And, you know, and we just kind of facilitate.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, hey, I'm teaching you something, you know, so take it, you know, and believe now what I believe, you know. It's like, no. Like, we have conversations, especially afterwards. We be having conversations with some of our friends. And
the afterglow.
The afterglow. Yes, man. And they're theologians and as well.
That's very much so, man. And just to add to that, I do love how it gives us these opportunities to do some, in a sense, some counseling after. Or because what happens is, in those spaces, you touch places inside of them that just like something. It'll just open up and be like, my wife left me, man. And in front of everybody, or just, you know, and they'll be saying certain things. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. They'll be saying things where it's like, you won't do this outside. Like, if we weren't in this safe space.
Right.
Yeah.
What you're saying right now, because it happens a lot. You know, we're like, oh, wow, that's how you got here. Because sometimes you don't know how someone ended up, you know, to be unsheltered.
Right,
and
right.
Yeah, we kind of get an eye into that, and where we're at.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, you know, people feel, especially if they grew up in some kind of faith, you know, some type of faith, you know, that's where people get vulnerable. You know, at least they should feel comfortable getting vulnerable in those spaces. You know,
not always like that, but
not always. Yeah, but you know, but that's the ideal, at least. You know, and so let me ask you guys. So right now you're doing group Bible studies. Was it 4 times a week right now?
Four times a week.
Monday, Thursday, yeah.
And I think we started once a week.
Right.
Yeah.
Was it last year?
Last year we started
2021, once a week. April-ish.
Yeah. So April is, we started once a week. And then at that time, G wasn't here with us yet. And so I was kind of running it. And then they were like, hey, can we do more days? You know? And I was like, okay. Like, you know, talk about it. So then we 2 times a week.
Okay.
You know? And then this year, was just like, hey, can we do more days? Because, and one of the things that kind of caught my attention was the language used as to why more days. And it's because, like, and I heard it this past week too, where it was like, this is a haven. Like, this is a safe space. This feels like a haven. This feels like a safe space. And so we were able to boost it up to 4 days a week. Having Bible studies, which is definitely in our line of work, is challenging.
Yeah,
because we just don't do Bible studies.
Right,
you know, we're also involved in the outreach.
Yeah,
and cleaning out the showers and doing the laundry and doing registration, scrubbing the toilets.
Right,
you know.
So like, how does that? Let me ask you. So you guys being involved in that aspect of the direct services, like you said, showers, laundry, maybe registration. How have you seen that maybe have some kind of effect with our friends experiencing homelessness? Do you feel like they kind of, I don't know, maybe changes their perspective a little bit, makes them think a little, or?
Yeah, you know, I think it just allows the whole pastor on a pedestal type of vibe, mm-hmm, to kind of be shifted. You know, it's kind of like it's kind of like we see each other eye level.
Yeah.
So when we're outside of the space of Bible study and stuff, and we're, maybe we're at the trailer and stuff, we get to have certain conversations, you know, that happen, and we get to maybe kick it back a little bit, you know, or whatever. And it's good because it helps to bridge that. And the question you also asked was like, have we seen it like shift in the homelessness idea?
Mm-hmm. Like, do they look at you? I mean, like you said, pastor on a pedestal. That, okay, look at,
for sure.
So they
sure,
look, they kind of, yeah, no,
I thought you were asking
them.
It's definitely true.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. You can finish your thought because I'm about to.
Yeah, it definitely, I think it definitely allows them to see, like, okay, here's somebody who, like you said, if they've had a background with spiritual, here's somebody who's, you know, leading and helping to shepherd me. And they're touchable. You know, it's like, oh, here. And, you know, they're in a sense just like me, which is true. We're just sometimes one step away from being where you at, but I'm walking alongside you, you know, while you're here, man.
Yeah, so that's cool. Big.
It's really big.
Man, one of the biggest things for me that I experienced was not saying I was a pastor, and I'm over here like cleaning clothes, and I was actually cleaning the shower. I was cleaning the shower, you know, and just, you know, scrubbing the toilet down and getting everything ready for this.
Yeah.
And as the person's getting in, someone called me like, "Hey, pastor!" And the guy just looked at me. He's like, "You're a pastor?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "What are you doing out here?" And I was like, "This is church."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's like,
"That's a wild idea."
He's like, "So where do you pastor?" I'm like, "Here." He's like, "Who do you pastor?" I'm like, "You." <He's> like, you know, like, bro, I was like, this is church here, man. Yeah, and it definitely shifted something where, like, I've seen it in a few individuals that we come across where it's just like, where's your suit and tie? You know, where's the desk? Where's where's the office? Where's you know, and not only is it redefining what a pastor looks like to them, it also redefines what a pastor looks like to me. And how that dynamic of, you know, of ministry is.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I feel like for sometimes I like the word you use, right? Touchable, right? Accessible. Where it's just like many times some of my homebound friends, I'm gonna just keep it as my friend Jonathan Wright would say, you know, funky. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. Mm-hmm. A lot of these churches don't open up these spaces for them to come in.
For sure.
Some of them have never probably even talked to a pastor or got to. So the fact that you're like, yo, wait, you're a pastor and you're right here.
Yeah.
And I can talk to you and ask you questions, ask you for prayer, ask you for things. Like it's almost like this is wild.
Really,
you know. And to me, it's even crazier the fact that, you know, you have certain church spaces that get uncomfortable or weird when someone that's unsheltered comes in.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know.
That's a whole, they could do a whole talk.
That's a whole other episode.
Episode 2.
Episode 2, right. So that being said, I mean, you know, on top of the group Bible studies, you guys are doing church service too for them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're bringing church to them. And like you said, I've seen it myself too, certain church spaces, you know, someone that's experiencing homelessness might come into the congregation, but the congregation might not know how to interact with someone experiencing homelessness. Might not know what to do, and you know, and it gets, like you said, it gets awkward. Then other times, you know, some of our friends, they might not even feel comfortable going into a church. You know, if everyone's in suits and ties and looking, you know, sharp. It's true. Know what I mean?
It's true. Actually, one time, one of our homebound friends was like, man, I want to go to church.
That's right.
But he didn't feel comfortable. And I was like, I'll go with you. And when I went and met up with him, I went with like a tie-dye shirt, some like shorts, two different color socks, and like Crocs. And he looked at me. He's like, I was worried of how they would look at me for what I wore. That fears out the window now.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Like, I got you.
That's ministry, man. Praise God. That's ministry. You know,
we walked into the church and I got some weird looks for sure, bro. They probably thought I wasn't sheltered as well.
That's funny. I mean, like, it's kind of crazy because when we look at all this, you know, I almost feel like, you know, on both sides of the fence, right? Our friends experiencing homelessness, you know, maybe our congregations of different faiths. I think the way that, would you say that the way that they view God, or maybe they view the character of God, is kind of showing in maybe what they believe or what they think is right or not right or that kind of thing, you know? Because when we have a misunderstanding of God's character, you know, you know, they like when I'm thinking of God's character, when I'm thinking of Jesus, right? I'm thinking of Jesus being in the trenches, right? He's like you guys were saying, he's cleaning toilets. He's, you know, helping with the showers. Like if Jesus was here, right? Jesus wouldn't be on site behind the desk, you know, in a suit and tie, right? He'd be out there mingling with the people, getting to know them. And so when our friends, like maybe are viewing pastors, they're thinking about pastors, they're thinking, what is a pastor doing out here? When in reality, that, you know, when being exempt, you know, exemplifying who Christ is, we should be outside, right? And working and showing that, you know. So do you feel like you know, there are some kind of maybe misconceptions or maybe the way people understand God is kind of why that translates out like that?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have experienced, you know, people sharing about different things. And some of the questions that they ask is like, oh, okay. You know, but I ask the same questions about, yeah, does God, you know, care if I'm like, if I'm doing this or if I'm doing that, you know, I keep messing up or this and that. And yeah, the way someone sees God, it definitely affects how they would see us too, because we're kind of his like
representatives,
his ambassador,
right?
Yeah.
So I think as we're helping to shift that perspective, it's helping them to see God differently. It's like, okay, God,
I see. Yeah. And it's not even like just God. I think it's how they view others as well. Definitely had the experience of talking to one of our homeboy friends and like, you know, seeing, you know, progress, you know, I feel like, and the progress came more so by the things he was sharing. And it was just one time when he was just kind of like sharing about like how, you know, he would do something and kind of just stick to himself. But this particular time, he actually stepped out and helped someone else, you know, and just things like that. I was like, man, like, that's crazy. Like, you know, that little shift, even for somebody like, you know, somebody would be like, oh, okay, anyways. It's like, no, like, that's huge. The fact that your perspective on other, how you treat other people or how you see other people or helping other people is beginning to shift. And it's coming from us kind of like reintroducing who God is. Because I do feel that when it comes to like the line of work that we're doing with like the studies, many people have been, have had a bad first impression of God, right? And it carries on. And so I feel like many times, you know, what I feel really called to do and what we're trying to do is reintroduce God because they've had a second,
secondhand first impression. Like they're going off someone else's first impression.
Exactly.
Because they never had that impression, right?
Precisely.
That interaction.
You know, and, it's, and it happens all the time, right? I mean, if you watch a movie, you'd be like, yo, that movie sucks. And you're like, dang, you know, I'm not going to watch it then. It's like, okay, yeah. And you went off of what I saw. So then you have people saying like, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, and this is how God looks like. And then it's just like, man, if that's how God looks like, forget this, you know, and so, so you got a bad secondhand first impression of who God is. And so now we are in this space of like, hey, God is not just out there yelling, repent, 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 repent.
Right.
You know,
right.
I would ask them, some of our homebound friends, I'd be like, does that guy know your name? Do you know his name?
What guy? There's a guy.
There's the guys
on the corners.
Yeah, sometimes the guy.
Repent.
Go to hell.
There might have been some guys at the Christian, you know, where we operate, the Christian Service Center, that have yelled that out.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's been some people. There's been some people. And while they do that, I would sometimes go like into like the crowd, into like our friends, and be like, how does this sound like to you? You know, I was like, are you listening? They're like, nah, man, not at all. I was like, you know, does... like, do you know this guy? Nope. It's like, so it's almost like I'm expecting you to change without building no relationship. Yeah. That's the equivalent of me breaking into your house and, you know, while you're home and telling you, you need to get rid of your fridge. You need to, you know, change your wardrobe. You need to, It's like, who are you to begin with? Mm-hmm. And why are you in my home?
Mm.
Get out before I call the cops.
Yeah.
You know? And so I feel like what we're doing is trying to bring church to them.
Right.
You know? And in regards to what you were mentioning, we do have a service where we try to connect with churches that are locally around Orlando or just in Florida and bring them out so they could do the worship so that we can kind of reintroduce this image of who God is. And me and G, we're the ones that always preach. So you don't got to worry about the speakers, you know, but just the worship and just bringing church to them, it literally changed the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's huge.
Just to add to that too. Something that's been, healing for me. So he mentioned it, how the perspective of how they see people, our friends see people shifts. We talked about how they see God shifts. What I've realized for me, it's what we're doing is helping me to see myself differently too. You know, how you see God affects the way you see God, affects the way you see others, but yourself, you know.
That's true.
And I've been receiving some healing through our journey, and it's really been refreshing. And I've seen others as well kind of receive that, you know
it's you know, as we get ready to close here, you know, it is interesting how God uses ministry. He uses his work to also work on us, you know. It's like,
for sure,
where he's using us to help others, right, to minister to others, but it's also kind of we like picking at the things in our soul that isn't in line with Christ, sure, right, and who he is. And that is healing, man. That is healing. I wanted to just talk about one last thing. I know that, you know, we had wondered for a while whether we should invite people to be baptized or, you know, to make a decision if they wanted to make a decision. And last year, I think it was October or something like that, we did invite for baptism. How do you think that making a commitment, inviting them to be able to make a commitment, helps maybe in helping to end homelessness, or you know, how does that correlate, would you think?
I think there's a difference that's made, you know, where it's like you're now making this decision and it's an open decision. You know, I actually got the privilege to baptize you know, some of our homebound friends. We were doing a service and just made an appeal, made a call. And it was very interesting because particularly one guy that came up, I just remember him saying thank you because he thought that he would die without having this opportunity.
Wow, that's heavy.
You know,
yeah.
Because he was marginalized, because he was, you know.
I mean, when you think about it, if they aren't going to a church, then what opportunity do they have to get baptized, right? I mean, and when, you know, when we were talking about, you know, in the beginning, we talked about perspective. We've been talking about it like here and there throughout the conversation. I feel like, and someone in particular that was baptized, I remember his perspective changed on life. And I feel like that was helpful for him in being able to progress, you know.
Still comes to the studies.
So there's one, and you told me the story, but there was one guy in particular who came. He got baptized, and
the next day
he, right, or was it two days after or something?
Literally,
like that,
literally like the next day. As he's holding his bike, dude runs up, punches him in the face, knocks him down, takes his bike.
Wow.
The next day. You know, and then
you see him. He missed Bible study, right? He's faithful to the Bible studies, but he missed it. And you're wondering where he was.
Yeah. A few days later, he comes back. You know, his eyes is like kind of swollen, but it's like kind of like receding. And he's just like, yeah, it was worse. He was like, but you know what? That was the devil, man. He's like, I knew I did something good.
Yeah.
And this happens. He's like, no one's ever touched me. No one's ever robbed me. No one's ever did nothing. He's like, in the moment I get baptized, this happens. He's like, but. He's like, it just let me know I did the right thing, and I'm on the right path now.
He knows the enemy was after him after making that commitment, you know, see, in that perspective there, you know, it was huge.
And it's crazy because we were actually, he's in housing now.
Mm. Wow.
He's in housing. God. Yeah. And when he can, he comes down. He comes back to Bible study.
Right. Oh, wow. Wow. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. No, thank you guys so much for sharing.
Definitely, man.
Do you, any final comments before we close out? Anything you want
to? I'm just thankful that, we get to be agents of hope. And we talked about what the baptism does and stuff like that. Perspective, I just think that helps to put people on a different trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of takes us off of the conveyor belt of nominal Christianity and or distorted Christianity, and just helps to position people rightly with God. I'm beginning to see it's really about relationship.
Yeah, amen. Deep. Yep.
Jesus, we got to learn about that. You know, relationship is Jesus. You know?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
I'm thankful that we get to be agents of that.
Mm. You
know, don't deserve it. Put it out there.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's definitely the fact that Jesus came, and the way he came is the model of ministry itself, which is incarnational ministry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Christ method alone. He came in and just became a part of the people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was with the people. Didn't just have sympathy or empathy, but had compassion.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like where I'm now moved to actually take action.
Yeah.
And to be among the people and try to be a resource.
Yeah.
And a solution.
Right.
So it's definitely one of those things where I feel like if we follow that model, there'll be a lot of more churches without walls.
Amen. Amen. No, praise God for you guys. Thank you guys for the discussion, for sharing. Thank you for joining us for Table Salt. Until we see you next time.